Hello, everyone, and welcome to the KO Knockout Podcast. This season is all about personal journeys. Not only will we be exploring fascinating career paths, but we will be uncovering the story behind these amazing women, who they are, where they've been, and where they're going. Today, we kick off season three with Gabrielle DiBernardi, associate at Ropes & Gray. In this episode, we'll touch upon how Gabrielle found herself as an M&A attorney, her unique perspective of private equity and how it influences our everyday life, and how she's able to use her unique gifts. Please enjoy.
We are here because as women in business, we don't want to walk alone on our path to success. We believe that by teaching and supporting one another, we can gain the knowledge we need and build a community where we belong. We are the Knockouts, women who champion other women and see every obstacle as an opportunity. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Weekly Knockout. We have a guest here today who is new to the podcast, Gabrielle DiBernardi, who is an associate at Ropes & Gray in New York. Gabrielle, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Lindsay.
So our goal today is to get to know Gabrielle a little bit. And one of the things I try to tell the world, tell my team, shout from the rooftops, is that private equity is a fascinating, fun, great career track for all types of people and personalities, especially women. That's my particular passion is getting more women excited about it. And Gabrielle, you have this really unique perspective on private equity that it actually impacts all of our lives. So I want to kick off with that. I mean, you are an M&A and private equity attorney, but you can see how private equity is relevant outside of the offices of your job. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So, you know, private equity is obviously a big, huge part of my life and my daily practice in my career. But as far as, you know, being a part of your everyday life, there's sometimes ways that you don't even realize it. So I'm going to give an example. So my significant other is a doctor in the ER at a local hospital in Brooklyn. And one of the complaints that, you know, most people have when you think about the ER is, oh my goodness, I am going to spend forever in the ER. Like, I am going to spend all day there and I do not want to go to the ER. And as a doctor, you know, he admits that, you know, that's true, but also, you know, kind of understanding that ERs are run by doctors and nurses, not business people, and they're not always maybe the most efficient. So most recently, about 2 years ago, his local hospital sold off the emergency room function to a PE-backed company. And the PE-backed company kind of came in and was hyper-focused on efficiency and patient care and improving wait times. So they had to implement new systems and policies. And candidly, he didn't love it at first. It meant, you know, changing things up a bit. And some of the interactions with patients were going to be shifted towards nurses or to staff so that that would leverage the doctors to be able to see more patients in a timely manner. But at the end of the day, it resulted in shorter wait times for you and I when we go into the ER. And so instead of having to sit in the ER for 5 or 6 hours, the idea is hopefully to be in there for 1 to 2 hours. And so this is just one example of how a PE company can come in and, you know, focus on metrics and certain growth and efficiency that maybe the individuals who are running that business, whether it's doctors and nurses or other, you know, you can think of so many other professions, and add real value that then comes into our everyday lives. And as someone who walks into the hospital, you wouldn't have known that that's what triggered that change.
Let's learn a little bit more about you. I mean, you're growing up in Houston and you're part of a big family, and is your, you know, lifelong dream since you were 6 years old that you wanted to be a M&A attorney in New York City? Or, you know, walk us through that.
Yeah. Well, the lifelong dream was New York City. So you got that one right. So my parents are originally from New York and I used to come every summer. So that was definitely the lifelong dream. But M&A attorney, absolutely not. Ironically, I wanted to be a brain surgeon my life. But then I took chemistry and didn't do so great. I was like, okay, let's rethink this. Both of my parents, you know, didn't go to college, but highly encouraged me to go to college, and really felt like, you know, as long as you work hard, you can really do anything. And that was something that really helped motivate me into thinking, okay, well, what is it that I want to do? If it's not going to be being a brain surgeon, because that wasn't going to work. I also realized that blood made me nauseous. So it just, a couple things there just weren't going to work. And so started to think about that and realized that, you know, business is kind of general enough that I wasn't sure what I wanted to do yet, but I knew I could do something with business. So I went to business school for undergrad and I went to Stern, and I majored in economics and international business. I studied abroad at a business school in Monterrey, Mexico. So again, just hyper-focused on business. And I really, you know, enjoyed it. When I graduated, I started to work in asset management. And while I found it was interesting, I just knew that it wasn't what I wanted to do long-term. It was just something was kind of missing for me on that side. It was, you know, kind of, and when I say asset management, I was focused on fund development, portfolios, you know, and kind of that side of the investment side. And so I decided, okay, well, I still really like business, but not, I don't want to be on the asset management side. And so I decided to go to law school. And I knew right away I was still going to leverage being a transactional attorney. I didn't want to be a litigator. I never had, you know, the goal of being in a courtroom or anything like that. And so leveraging that background is kind of how I got into the transactional side. But I will say this, I actually started off in a LATAM group, so focused on Latin American clients. And that was really interesting. And I really liked the clients that I was servicing, but it actually was more securities type regulation, you know, debt offerings, and just those type of transactions. And I felt like it was very, very regulatory heavy, just that, you know, capital markets, that's what it is. And I knew right away that I really wanted to do the M&A work. So after a year of practicing within that space, I decided to pivot to M&A. And I've been doing that for the last 9 years, with a focus on private equity more recently.
I think that's fascinating because one of the things I've learned about M&A over my time talking to people is that essentially M&A is about people, and you're a very social, community driven person. And while it sounds like it's something very technical, a lot of times, isn't it just about two groups coming together or two personalities coming together? I mean, like, there's a big human element in making M&A work.
Absolutely. I think you hit it right on the nail. It's really, I mean, taking a really big step back when you think of M&A, it's two businesses ultimately leveraging synchronicities and coming together, right? And thinking about how does the one business and another business coexist and make it better and bigger and better. And then you add in the private equity component, which, you know, first you start off with a portco and then you kind of start adding on and leveraging that into, you know, a growth component. But at the end of the day, it's still just people coming together. And the private equity teams that I work with that are my clients, you know, they're day-to-day interacting with these business teams that are running these companies that they ultimately are buying and then eventually selling. And it's so important to have those connections. I can give you an example. So recently did a transaction with a individual who's the head of a very big insurance company, and has a huge personality, just, you know, really, really big personality. And as part of his growth model and a part of, you know, what's really helped him be successful in growing this business is he really believes in treating all of his team and people part of the company as partners. And so it's a really, really big important component to be able to say, you know, we own the company together. We have the same benefits. We share the same type of equity. And so that was a dynamic that the private equity team coming in had to understand and respect and appreciate. And so when we were thinking about, you know, acquiring this company, and then as we've continued to do add-ons and we've tried to grow this company, we've always had to keep that in mind, right? And we've had to respect that those values were important to the leadership of this company, and it's part of why they've been successful. And if my clients as the private equity team didn't understand that and appreciate that, we would not have been able to been successful in this growth. You know, and this is over the last 2 or 3 years has turned out to be a really prosperous investment for my clients, but also for the company. It's had, you know, it's had significant growth over the last couple of years. And we think it's really due to that partnership. And so again, people coming together and working together. Because I agree, I think sometimes M&A and private equity sounds really technical or sounds kind of, you know, almost overwhelming and daunting, like, oh, that's that world I don't know anything about, but I hear about it. But as we've kind of alluded to earlier, it really is a part of our daily lives. And when you break it down to the basics of it, it is people coming together.
I think that's interesting you found yourself here, because you come from, your mom's Puerto Rican background. You come from an enormous family. I mean, tell us what, you know, a big holiday looks like in your house.
Yeah, sure. So let's go with Christmas, because that's coming up, and something that is a really fond childhood memory of mine. So as you mentioned, my mother is Puerto Rican and my father's actually Italian American. So different cultures. And on Christmas Eve, I spent Christmas with my father's family. And we kind of did the traditional Italian food. We did the seafood feast. And then on Christmas morning would open presents, and then I would go to my mom's family side. My mom is a host, as she would host our family and friends. And when I say family and friends, I'm saying, you know, 40 to 50 people. we have a big, big family, and community. You know, everyone kind of comes over. And so the morning would start with opening presents, then at my mom's house. And obviously as an adult, not as many presents anymore, but still, you know, we do try to do at least one gift each. And then it just starts with cooking. And me and my mom are in the kitchen all day. And we cook traditional Puerto Rican food. And then usually by 5 p.m., guests start to come and we have a big celebration and dinner. And then it would not be Christmas if we did not play cards afterwards. It is just a big family, tradition. And we sit around and we play cards. And it's all fun and games, but it can get serious and it can get pretty intense. People are competitive.
what card game do you guys play?
So most recently, over the last couple of years, it's become this game called In Between. I think some people also call it AC Deucey. And it's basically you put two cards down and then you bet. And we play with quarters because, again, this is all fun and games. And you bet whether or not the next card is going to be in between the two. So if you have a 2 and a 10, you're going to not bet so much because the likelihood that you're going to get a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is smaller, right? But if you have an ace and a 2, there's a really high chance that you're going to bet more. And it gets pretty, you know, the pot's gotten up to like $100.
So with quarters.
Real high stakes. Real high stakes. Yeah. Because the pot can double. Yeah. And then, you know, so it's fun. It's all fun and games. But a really big part of our, Christmas holidays.
That's really fun. I mean, what's your thought on how, so taking these amazing experiences you've had with your family and then you're building a career in private equity and law. Like, how do people connect? What's the best way to bring humans together with different personalities. And I don't know, you, it seems like this is really a gift that you have, which is finding human connection, building community. Like, what's the secret to that for those of us who are more introverted?
Well, I think, you know, my biggest secret and what I've learned over the years is to just be authentic and to bring yourself, your true self, to the table. So being a woman and being in a space that has, you know, traditionally been male dominated, right? And I had to sometimes take a step back and say, okay, well, I can't force myself into certain conversations because that's not who I am. I don't golf. I actually know nothing about golf.
Although you do know a lot about football, exactly. Which is pretty awesome.
So that's where I was going. Exactly. So I don't golf. So I'm not going to force that. But there are other ways to connect with people. And if you bring your authentic self, you can find those connections. So I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. I love football. I actually just love sports generally, but football is, you know, a really, really big part of my life outside of work. And so you can connect with that. Or whether it be holiday traditions, you know, we were just talking about Christmas. And while maybe not all of my clients have dinner with 40 to 50 people and play in between, I'm sure they all have their holiday traditions as well. And so I think it's just really important that in addition to being focused on providing good legal counsel and, of course, being a trusted advisor to your client, I think what takes your practice to the next level and honestly just makes it enjoyable, because I don't want to just be a robot that gives you legal advice, is to be able to make those connections with clients. And I think when you have those connections, you're able to build deep, meaningful relationships. And it's really what brought me to private equity in the first place. So private equity clients are not one-time clients. It's not a one and done, you know, I've acquired this company and we're moving forward and that's it. You are building platforms, you're adding on to portcos, you're acquiring new portcos. And through that, you're building relationships. You're learning about the business, but you're also building relationships with people. And like one of my clients that I'm currently very much invested in and, you know, work a lot with all the time. I'm going on vacation next week. And so we talk about it and they're like, okay, where are you going? And, you know, the joke is, you know, it's been a busy year, right? And the joke is that I'm going somewhere in the mountains where no one can reach me, even though that's not where I'm going, but we joke. And, you know, but it's just, again, making it personable, because otherwise, like, it would be kind of boring.
Absolutely. It sounds like you are enjoying your work because you're able to use some of your unique gifts. I think that's really the secret all of us are looking for. So that's very special. Before we close out here, I'm going to surprise you with a question. I hope this doesn't throw you off, but I always ask this, is there a mantra that you live by? Like, is there just something when you come across an obstacle or you start to get burned out or you're losing your way that you sort of come back to?
There is actually, that's a great question. And it took me a while to be comfortable with that mantra, I think. And it's to take it one day at a time. So working in, you know, private equity or any job, you have these same situations where it can just start to feel overwhelming. It can start to feel like, what am I doing? Can I do this? And, you know, it almost can become paralyzing at different times, right? Where you're just like, oh, there's so much to do. How am I going to get this done? And I think if you take a step back and it's like, okay, today, what has to get done. And I really, really try to live by that, is taking it just one day at a time. And it will all get done and it will all be okay. And then you even break it down as one task at a time. But really just taking it one day at a time. You know, sometimes you get into this rut of working and you're working long hours and you're just kind of going and you feel like a machine almost. And then you have to stop and say, okay, let me take 10 minutes, take a step back, and remember that it's going to be okay. And it will all get done. And that's been really helpful for me in my career. And it's taken me a long time to get comfortable with that, because Just being, you know, I think most lawyers can probably type A people, or you want to just get it all done and you want to control it all. And that's not real life. So I think that that's something that has really helped me. And I will say, look, I mentioned before, my boyfriend's an ER doctor. And we have great perspective, because when things get really crazy, he's like, who's going to die? And then I realize no one. So it always helps, you know, have perspective.
Absolutely. I love that. That's very inspiring. Gabrielle, this has been really fun. I hope we get the chance to meet you in person some point in 2022, and maybe we can show you what our version of community looks like at one of our private equity events. But this has just been so fun to get to know you a little bit better. So thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. And I definitely look forward to having more events and attending things in person. So thank you for having me. And I really look forward to meeting you in person.
Thank you for joining this conversation with Gabrielle DiBernardi, who has shared her passion for private equity, family, and football. She believes the ultimate advice is to take things one day at a time. Life can be overwhelming, and sometimes the best thing to do is to take a step back. Control what you can and let go of what you cannot. Thank you for listening, and if you would like to learn more about Gabrielle, please click the link in the show notes.